thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Let me welcome you this morning to Church Refreshed. 2 years ago, my friend Gerald Brooks challenged us to do something to encourage the pastors. Gerald is here this morning. Gerald, stand. I want everyone to know, been a spiritual mentor to me. Thank you. And I said to Dr. Andre Rogers, I said, let's run with this. I said, no, why don't you run with this? And Dr. Rogers has put this together, and we give him all the credit. And thank you, Dr. Rogers, for your leadership this morning. We have some fantastic ministers of the gospel this morning who are going to encourage your heart on this prayer day at Columbia International University. You have to understand and go back 99 years. We're going into our 100th year when four praying ladies felt God say, we need a place that teaches the Bible. And today, Columbia International University still honors those praying ladies by every month taking a full day out of all academic work, closing down and praying. Today is one of those days, and we've called it a ministry day today, although prayer started early this morning. And I thank God for prayer, and I thank God for those ladies. We have a number of distinguished guests here with us this morning, and one of those we're very honored to have representing Washington, D.C., and he is the National Director of Community Impact for the Family Research Council, Reverend Tim Throckmorton. Would you stand, Pastor Throckmorton? Come up just a moment. Pastor Throckmorton, for the last 7 or 8 years, has been my spiritual mentor, accountability partner. I meet with him 4 times a year. We do a 3-day retreat in the summer. He asks me any question about anything in my life. He teaches me 6 lessons in the summer on the heart and how to cleanse the heart, purify the heart, how to be in the Word, how to be strengthened in the Word. I live out this accountability in my life. This man knows everything about me. You don't need to ask him what he knows, okay? No, I don't think there's any hidden secrets. But anyway, he has been a dear friend. It was said last year, and I've probably heard it 20 times in my lifetime, if a turtle is sitting on a fence post, it didn't get there by itself. I know Dr. Benny said that last year. It's apropos to the lesson that I was asked to give this morning. Dr. Rogers came to me and said, Dr. Smith, he said, I would like for you to share some of your story. So this morning, it's a little more about my life and my story because I was asked to do that by the Reverend this morning, our bishop here. And so I'm going to attempt to do that. I don't want you to think this is about Mark. It's about God and a life that's impacted. And so if a leader's having success, it's because those around him have lifted him up. It's because God has exalted and elevated. It's because someone took the time to teach and share insights. There's no such thing as a self-made leader. A successful leader, even if they have done lots of work for themselves, must understand that God is the giver of all ideation and thought creation. Amen. And God is the one who has structured their ability to think the way they do to be successful. So they cannot say, I made it. This morning, I want to talk to you about 5 steps that Dr. Rogers asked me to share with you as I go about the country and do mentoring. Right here, Dr. Rogers and I are mentoring a number of young men into the ministry. He said, share five steps that have helped you impact community. And one of the things that right now in my own life I'm involved in is this year I am doing a Bible study with 8 CEOs across the nation, or that type of person. An NFL football player, Michael Boulware, is involved in the Bible study group. Michael just retired from Seattle Seahawks, won a championship ring. Meet with Michael every week. Meet with Mike Bolton, Norwex, former pastor. Mike and Debbie started Norwex, which is a very successful company, thousands of employees. I meet with Daniel, one of his Canadian CEOs who started about 10 companies, and so forth. And as I was preparing this lesson, I was going through with that Bible study. We do 15 chapters a week. We read, discuss, we meet, we give insights to each other. We meet online because we're from all over the nation. And as I was going through preparing for their time and preparing for this time, I was in the book of Joshua, my favorite book, okay? Joshua is about great leadership. I will tell you, though, at the end of Joshua, Joshua makes a critical mistake that we as leaders must not make, because he did not prepare the next generation to be a leader. And that's something we cannot afford in this day to do. So that's why we're having church refreshed. That's why you're here this morning. That's why the students are here, as well as pastors. We welcome all of you, and we're going to try to just hit that middle of the road to challenge all of you and refresh you in God's Word this morning. So as Andre said to me, what are the steps, Dr. Smith? You're 55 years old. By some design, you've had some success, I guess. He said, what were those steps that have changed your life, impacted your life most? And so I would start this morning with number one. If you want to make a difference in community and impact your world, you must first pray for God-sized vision. Pray for God-sized vision. I was a young man. I was planning to go to veterinarian school, had taken all of my math, science, had enjoyed calculus, been in the first year of college, passed Calc 1, 2, and 3. Great success for all of us when you do that. I love math and science. It was something that I just thrived in and enjoyed so much. I'll never forget the one question in my physics class. The last exam question was one question. We had to take an answer a question of how fast do you need to throw a snowball for it to melt before it hits the wall. And you had to take all the factors, which was pages and pages and pages, and it was a fascinating study. And that question determined that I ended up getting physics student of the year because I got it right, okay? So I don't know how I got it right, but I got it right. So it was funny to go through that. But I enjoyed math and science. 17 years old, in high school, going into my senior year, and I begin to sense the gentle tug of the Holy Spirit saying to me, what about me? Do you have room for me in your life? Veterinarian, already could picture that several hundred acre farm, beautiful fence, all the cattle. It was all there and had been there for years. That was life to me. From the eighth grade, I had said, that will be success. My father had taught us how to be entrepreneurs. We'd bought cattle. I bought my first cattle as a young man, and those had just multiplied over and over, and I had a nice herd, big enough to pay for my college, something that my dad was very fortunate to teach me. And so that was life, and God said, boom, stop. How about me? I struggled for a year saying, God, you want me to give up what I've already prepared for? What do you mean? I mean, I live in the country. We farm, we work in lumber mills, we're tough guys. We just, the Appalachian region, that's who we are. We don't go do other things. And God said, what about me? And God began to burn the vision in my heart. And I began to pray. And God took me to a rock. I'll show you a picture of this rock if they have it up there this morning. This is my prayer rock. And I would go there in a little small patch of woods and I would pray every day, God, what do you want for my life? And as I prayed on that rock, I remember the night when I lay across the rock. I laid across the rock and said, God, everything. Everything is yours. I married Debbie, my wife, who's here this morning. Honey, thank you. Okay. Every morning she gives me a kiss, so I like that. And I even got one before I left, so we're fine, but I'll take another one, okay? So I walked up on that hill with her, showed her the rock where God had called me into the ministry. This is my rock. This is my solid place. This is a place I go when I have a crisis. It's 2 hours and 48 minutes up the road. It doesn't take long to get there. The day I found out I had cancer was the first day of school. Here, this year, the second time of cancer, I couldn't be in the first day of school. You didn't know it. I was broken. I was beat down. I couldn't believe I was going through cancer for a second time. I couldn't believe I had to face chemo. I couldn't believe I faced another surgery. I said to her, I can't go the first day of school. I called Dr. Christman. I said, Dr. Christman, I need you. I'm in crisis. And I drove 2 hours and 48 minutes and got to the rock and laid across the rock again and gave it all to God. All to God. No fear since that moment. It's His. And my life was given to Him in that moment. Prayer has been the hallmark. If you want one success step, let me say to you students, let me say to you older ones in the faith who are pastors, ministers of the gospel, right now, the key to any success that has been had in my life has been prayer. If it takes 2 hours, if it takes 3 hours, if it takes all day, if it takes all night, whatever it takes, prayer is the key. I must pray through on what God has for me. And that's how vision was developed as I went to a Bible college in Florida. And I walked on that campus, and the president of the college, just as I've done to some of you, looked at me after the first year of college and said, Mark, you have a lot of leadership and administrative ability. Have you ever thought about being a college president? 18, 19 years old? You ever thought about being a college president? I went to my room. I got on my knees in the res hall there. I closed the door and just God and I spent time together. And from that, from my heart, an overflow began to come up these ideas. That's what you're called for. That's what you need to prepare for. Let me share something with you, students. I have learned in 35 years of ministry that God always has a prepared place for a prepared person. Preparation's so key. So I jotted down, by 22 I need my master's. By 25 I need my master's. By 30 I need my doctorate. By 35 I need to have written my first book. By 35 I need to have pastored 5 years at least as a senior pastor. By 40, I want to be prepared to be what my president said I could be. And at 39 years old, I was named president. 10 years younger than expected for most presidencies, but God had spoken through that president and said, here is what I want for your life. And I've never wavered once. 30 years old, had an accident. didn't walk for a year. 30 years old, going through all kinds of trials. But God kept me on focus. Do what I said to do and prepare. And that all came about through prayer. Let me say something to you. Let me give you a little slogan to keep in your mind. You will never do what you do not dream. You will never do what you do not dream. What's your vision? What's God saying to you? What's He birthing on the inside of you? What is your life about? What is the purpose of your life? You will never do what you do not dream. The second thing I saw as we talk about a God-sized vision is God begin to activate faith in my life. I'm going to give you another little quote. Faith is connected to feet and first steps. Faith, I have learned, is connected to feet and first steps. Faith is not activated in you until you say, like Peter, I'm going to walk on water. Faith is not activated in you until you say, I'm going to try something so big that only God can get the credit for it if it happens. Faith is not doing the normal everyday routine. Faith is seeing something bigger. Faith is envisioning what God wants to do through your life. And faith is connected to first steps, and it's activated when risk is taken. Faith is activated when risk is taken. Joshua and Caleb saw the promised land. Everyone else saw the giants. And Joshua and Caleb came back, and it leads me to my third point. God-sized vision is fulfilled through faith-filled preparation. So I followed through and I did the things that God said to do. But Joshua and Caleb, they were prepared and they said, let's go to the promised land. I remember in my very first pastorate, God saying to me, I want you to help this congregation build a church. You have to understand, I was doing my doctorate. I was teaching in the public schools. I was also working as an administrator in a mental health facility. As a pastor, we did whatever it took to get things going. We had 17 people in our church because it had just split. And I mainly was there to get the doctorate. I knew why I was there, to get the doctorate, but I wanted to fill in. And God began to say, well, let's do something big while we're here. Let's not just pastor 17 people. We were in a community of 1,500 people, a little place called Terra Alta, High Firma, High Land, okay? It was in West Virginia. Average snowfall was 200 inches a year. Every year, the first snowfall that Debbie and I experienced in our little parsonage was 33 inches. The second snowfall started on Friday evening and ended and was 60 inches. We had our Preston County Cadillac, we called it, which was our four-wheel drive. And we couldn't even move. I had to shovel all day just to get the four-wheel drive out. And we began to work in that community. Now, Debbie and I made a conscious decision that with 1,500 people, we probably could connect with most of them in the first year. And students, let me just say something to you. I totally disagree with the philosophy today that you don't connect with people. And so we started knocking on every door and going to every event that we could, and we started meeting people. And our little church of 17 grew from 17 to 51 the first year. And the second year, as we continued to knock on doors, over 800 doors, we began to see God work as faith was activated. And that little church went from 51 to 108. And we began to work, and God began to build a church in our community. And a little group of congregation of 25 people, 17 but 25 that was on the membership, started giving and believing in faith, and we raised $500,000 and built a new facility and had 350 people come in that day. 26 straight Sundays of someone being led to Christ. God stepped in, and because we had prepared, God made the difference. God was the difference. Someone said to me, Andre, in fact, asked me, he said, Dr. Smith, what's your secret sauce to seeing growth? And so I said to him, I'm going to give you just on a side note some things that I've practiced since I was a teenager, since I was a college student. Number one, connect, connect, connect. Connect, connect, connect. Every single week, I go to lunch with 3 to 4 to 5 people. Every single week. If you do that, 50 weeks, 3 lunches, you're going to have 150 contacts. If you get their cards, write on the back of the cards, put them in your little computer or write in your cell phone, you are going to have all the people you ever need to reach to make something happen in the world. Connect, connect, connect. Number two, I walk in and I listen. What are their issues? They don't care about my issues. What are their issues? When I came to town, I said, Mayor Benjamin, what's the issues of the city? Sheriff, I want to have lunch with you. What's the issues of the city? Community leaders, what's the issues of the city? Andre Melvin, pastor in the community here, what's our issues in this area? We met with over 50 pastors, Andre and I. About 50 people came together, not all pastors, all 50 people came together, and we listened. And the reason you see the community boulevard cleaned up from crime and prostitution that was going on is because we listened and the people said, get rid of the crime. It's our number one issue. And so we left there and we said, Andre and I said, let's put a plan together. And we've invested $22 million in the corridor. With more tomorrow, even tomorrow, a meeting about a corporation or a business coming into town to look at one of these slots. Because we connected and listened to the people. Yes. You want to be successful in life? Connect. Number two, listen to what the needs are. I walked in a church not long ago and a pastor said to me, as I was just before I preached, he said, you know, our church has been the same for the last 20 years. We don't know how to do ministry here because there's really no needs around us. And I looked as I drove in, and here's a bar, and here's crime from all the broken windows, and over here is a drug rehab center, and over here's the homeless. And I'm saying, open your eyes. Don't say there's not ministry opportunity. It's all around you. Pastor, students, will you listen to me this morning? There are needs everywhere. Amen. That's what ministry is. Yes. We can give you 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years of doctorate in ministry. But if you don't get that ministry is about reaching the hearts of people and loving them wherever they are. You've totally missed the heartbeat of ministry. Christ went about teaching good theology everywhere he went. Is that right? Yeah, he did that. But what was Christ's heartbeat? Loving people. Come here. Little child, come to me. Let me take care of you. Oh, the leper, let me touch you. Oh, the blind man, let me touch you. That's what ministry is about. What are you doing actively? So connect, listen. Write down a one-page vision. I was elected to city council in Marion, Indiana. Ran for office, thought that'd be a fun thing, learned my lesson, never need to do it again, okay? But while on city council, we had a 200-page strategic plan that never once was pulled out. We don't have that here. Or any place that I've led, we have a one page. If you can't say it and you don't know it, you aren't going to do it. Write it down. Amen. In a one page and put your vision out and let everyone know it. Number four, put yourself in the right circles. I said to the guys last night, you cannot raise money where there is no money. You got to put yourself in the right circles. Someone said, Dr. Smith, why do you go to Republican and Democratic fundraisers? Duh. Because I like politics. No. Why do you go to Republican and Democratic fundraisers? Why do you give your $1,000, Dr. Smith, to be at those events? Because there's money everywhere. I can be there, and I can meet David Spivey, who's a multimillionaire, and say, David, let's go to lunch. And will you help CIU students with scholarships? You're going to get criticism when you go in circles like that, when you work in the corporate communities, when you do those types of things. But let me say to you, connection, 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 be in the right circles, go wherever it takes. You will not believe this. My wife can vouch for it. But in my lifetime, I have sacrificed to spend about $50,000 a year on being in right circles. Oh, John Maxwell's having an event. It's $15,000. You going to be there? Absolutely. Because John said to me, I'm going to have 100 people there who have means, Mark, and you're my friend, and you can work them. Because you will do it well and never hurt me. I will be there. I will be there. The governor invites me down to the governor's mansion. Mark, would you like to come to the evening reception at Christmas? I will be there. Students, I started doing this in college. What events are you attending? Pastors, what circles are you running in? If you hang out with your poor pastor friends, friend, somebody should have said preach right there. You think I'm going to hang out with Gerald Brooks all the time? Poor pastor friend, right? Gerald's a rich one. You better hang out with him. No. You've got to get in the right circle. Students, I'm giving you such practical advice this morning on how to be successful. Number five, schedule one-on-one meetings, and you'll be asked to share your vision. After you listen to them, then you can share your vision. And God will connect the dots. Attempt to do something so big for God that only He gets the credit. And these are just little successful steps that I've learned over the years. Also, we need a right attitude. I love Numbers chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Listen to this passage. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it, but my servant Caleb has a different spirit. Ruach. A different attitude than the others have. Caleb had a spirit filled with wholehearted devotion. Pastor, you could preach there this Sunday. A different spirit. You know, I have learned that one person in 2 minutes can destroy what I've done in 20 years. Negative, bitter, critical attitude. You know, when I see those folks, I say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't want them around me. They will bring you down so fast. Students, if you're in that category, get away from that group. Pastors, get away from that group. Don't listen to those negative soothsayers out there that are trying to draw you into their trap. But be like Caleb and have a different spirit. Genesis 6:17, the same word. It was the breath of life, the creative, the divine activity that was going on in Caleb. Genesis 7:22, the same word. The spirit of life was in Caleb. Exodus 31:3, he was filled with the spirit of God to think differently, a different attitude for the day. Joshua 2:11, the spirit of courage was in him. That passage refers to the same word that was used there. Isaiah 61:1, the spirit of power for deliverance was in Caleb. Caleb was there to lead the people with Joshua side by side to be an encourager and say, let's take the promised land. Students, we live in a fear factor day. Fear filled, anxiety. Every morning I have a decision to make when I get up. Will I let cancer rule my life? Will I let COVID rule my life? Or will I, by the grace of God, say, God, I will go forward in this day? You have that same choice. Pastor, lead your congregations with faith, not with fear. Let God lead you in this day in a different spirit, in a different way than others around you. I will not be fear-filled. I will be a man of faith in this day. It's not about how I feel. I get up and I go and make it happen. Every 3 weeks I have chemo. I had it last Monday. On Monday morning, when I went in, I dreaded it. I told Debbie, I said, honey, I dread this day. They pour for an hour and a half that poison in me. I feel it burning all the way through my whole body. I come out of there that evening, and I'm shaking so bad. My insides are so torn up. And I go home, and I go straight to bed at 4 o'clock after the chemotherapy, and I don't get up till the next morning. And it's 12 to 16 hours of pure torture, pain, cramping, knots on my legs. Not fun. The next day's the same. This week is a week off of chemo. I feel pretty good this week. I might preach, okay? But those 3 days to 5 days are absolutely horrible. But I say to my wife, I'm getting up, I have ministry. And I come here every single day, and I have watched as I drive this circle, and I pray over this place. A lot of days, 7 times a day, I'll drive around. And when I pray over this place, I begin to sense the Spirit of God coming up within me. And I get out of that bed, walk in here, I come into this office, and I will sense God pouring over me, and I will leave on a hilarious high someday because God has visited me and been upon me. You can't do it in your strength. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit resting on you. That's what's going to make the difference in your life. Have a different spirit. The motto I've adopted in life is this: go, do, fail. Then go, do, learn, get back up and succeed. You won't always succeed. I will tell you one very funny incident in my own life. If you think Dr. Smith has everything together, Dr. Smith doesn't. I'll just be real with you this morning. My first fundraising adventure as a president was a total disaster. I said to my good assistant, Craig Brown, who is now the president of Christian Healthcare Ministries, which is $1 billion healthcare ministries, and I love Craig, he's like a brother to me. I said to Craig, let's do something. I'm new as a president, let's do something fantastic. Let's send, in the middle of the hot summer in July, let's send ice cream to our top 50 donors at Ohio Christian University. So Craig said, I'll get the list. I said, Craig, you handle. Call Jenny's Ice Cream. Ask them if they can have frozen ice cream arrive in 100-degree weather, because I want to set us apart. And everyone will say, wow. You know me, I like the wow factor, okay? Everyone will say, wow. So Craig pulled it off. Comes in my office and said, Doc, we did it. We got that ice cream there. People are going to get it. It's going to be frozen. We pulled it off. I'm sitting in my office, and my top donor, who had just offered me $100,000, actually, at a Bob Evans restaurant. Pastor Tim will remember this, and I looked at him, and I said, I thank you for the $100,000, but I really think God wants you to give $1 million, and I didn't take his $100,000. And 2 weeks later, he comes back, and he's in tears, and he said, you were right, I want to give you $1 million. I knew it was of God, so I minded God that day. But I get a call from Dean, and he says, Dr. Smith, ha, 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 and he wouldn't stop laughing. He said, this is the best one ever. I said, what's going on? He said, let me send you a picture. Someone at Jenny's Ice Cream, they had a lot of students working at Jenny's Ice Cream. And they had just had a new dessert come out called Salty B-I-T-C-H Ice Cream. And they were promoting this. Yeah, yeah. And so the cards that they selected from Ohio Christian University was the salty ice cream. My first introduction to fundraising. And I said, oh, Dean, I'm sorry. And I went down the hall. Craig Brown said, I can hear that step coming to this day. And he said, you said, Craig, we have a problem. Oh, did we have a problem? Honestly, God used it because it created more goodwill than anything I could have ever done. People from that day on loved me because they knew I was human. I don't even know why I told that story. Yes, I did. I did it to tell you, you're going to make mistakes in life, but you got to keep going forward. Amen. You got to keep going forward. Can I tell you this morning, I'm not afraid of failure because Psalms 27:1 tells me he's the stronghold of my life. I'm not afraid of failure because Psalm 46:1 tells me God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I'm not afraid of failure because Psalms 23:4 tells me that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me.
Amen.
And I understand that also Psalms tells me that sometimes I need to be still and just know that he's God. Don't let failure define you. I'm going to just stop right here a moment. I gave you all the answers. You got the answers, so we may not get through with it. But I want to stop right here just for a moment. I want to stop. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Pastor, student, some of you need to hear this morning. Don't let failure define you. You're valuable in God's sight.
Amen.
Genesis 1:27 says you are made in the image of God. Psalms 139:14 tells us that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not a failure this morning. You are in the image of God this morning. Psalms 139:16 says all your days are ordained in his book. Come on, find your purpose this morning. Live in the will of God and live under the overflow of the glory of God and the anointing on your life. You aren't a failure if you're living in the anointing.
Amen. Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11, I understand the context of that verse. And it's not what we make it out to be, but I'll just encourage you anyway this morning. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He has a purpose for you. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus this morning. You are one of God's children. Don't you dare this morning walk around with your head down. Don't you despair this morning. Pastor, don't you give up. Go back and encourage your congregation this morning. This week when you go home, bring a fresh touch, a fresh attitude to them, and let them know that God is alive in you and God is doing something in you.
Bless you, God. Amen.
The brokenness in my life right now is bringing the blessing. I'm a broken human being. I understand that some mornings I can barely get a breath. I understand some days that walking's tough. I understand I was tongue-tied as a boy and told you will never speak. But because of God, he said you'll speak to thousands across the world. I understand that God said, or that the devil said, you will not have children. And Debbie and I agonized. It was a painful, painful thing when we found out we couldn't have children. But then God gave us adopted children. And then God placed us in colleges where we have so many children we don't know what to do. God multiplied the efforts. I know the devil said you can't walk after that accident, but I can tell you this, he's flown me all over the world to use me in this day. That's God that's done that. No one else gets the credit. And then some have used, you came from the Appalachian Mountains, one of the poorest and most uneducated regions. But God said, I'm going to raise you up to sit with ambassadors and secretaries of state. Amen. And to go to Washington, D.C. and know most of the senators by name. And to go sit in the Oval Office with the President of the United States on more than one occasion. God has raised up. No one else could have done that to an Appalachian boy. It's God. I got about 15 more pages of note. You're getting closer and closer. Speakers, this is your cue. He was over there. Now he's here. My watch says I got 6 minutes, so let me have it. And I know we are brothers, but today I get my 6 minutes. I know you do. I love you too. I'll take you to Ruth Chris again sometime. Someone said to me, Dr. Smith, why have you given your life to what you've given it to? Let me close with this story. I have pastors, young men, young women, Debbie and I do, all across the nation, that in this moment are sending us notes of encouragement and love. I love it. We're catching a little glimpse of the last 30 years of our lives. It's been fun. Pastor, student, God is raising you up. Pour into people. We've built a lot of buildings, $200 million worth I've added up probably we've done in my lifetime. All that'll burn up. Why do you do that? It's a means to an end. It's all about people. Ministry, ministers, be refreshed because God wants to use you in this day to be successful in ministry. Don't operate from fear. Go in faith and let God use you. Thank you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.